o'clock, the final hour of 7:02 afternoons with myself, Relebogile Maboja. And it is a Thursday, which means we chat to our consumer ninja, Wendy Nola. Now, in this section of the show, we do all things consumer issues. Consumer issues, this is where we cover it. We'd love to give you an opportunity to also be a part of the conversation. 011-883-0702. Send your WhatsApps on 072-702-1702 and then tweet me at Relebogile M, or you can use the SMS line 31702. We will, if we have the time, squeeze in one or two of those that are not related to today's subject, which it's going to defeat me because tomorrow is that hectic day that we all know as Black Friday.
702.
Nola knows her knowledge is your power.
We're chatting to Wendy Nola. Wendy, can you hear us much better without any other voice coming through?
Only you, Rafaela. I'm very happy to report. So yes, we are in business.
So let's jump into it. I mean, Black Friday is the hype of hypes. I mean, yep. I'm very wary of it because it's not like what it should be, which is sales that are 50% plus. But you have a couple of things that you want to chat to us about.
Well, yeah, I'm wary and I'm also weary. I think this is year seven. Year seven of Black Friday. I remember it started. No, must be eight. No, seven. 2004, I think it was. Checkers decided that this going to, well, certainly a bit more. I think Take a Lot started it a bit earlier. But, yeah, it was quite a low-key thing in comparison to now, and it was certainly only the one day. So by the time we've got to this stage, we're all a little bit Black Friday out. Well, I certainly am. But I think we can't deny the fact that there's a lot of hype and a lot of people are excited about it. And so we can't not mention the old BF thing at all on a consumer show the day before the big day. So I'm going to have to be the killjoy one and say that this is not the time to indulge your FOMO. Rather miss out on the payment headache that you will have if you are not coming at this thing from a very from a position of strength. So by that I mean someone who has decided exactly what they want to buy months ago and checking out the prices, or, you know, themselves or on sites such as Price Check, who knows exactly what they want, such as it's usually a high ticket appliance, a TV or oven or whatever, and they go in, they get the deal, they get out and they ignore all the noise. But unfortunately, I think those people are in the minority. And so what happens is, you know, a lot of people just, it's some kind of like retail party, right? And everyone's doing it. So let's get on it. And if you're buying on, you talked about, is it, you know, are the savings really 50%?
Yes.
Well, I think there's some genuine bargains to be had, but that 50% off, 40% off, 60% off, it doesn't, in most cases, stand up to scrutiny. So they'll say, you'll see on social media people saying, oh, well, I bought this at that price or cheaper 5 months ago. So this is nonsense, this 40% off or 30% off. And the retailer will say, well, it's 30% off the recommended selling price or whatever. Or that's our third party seller, no, we can't control those prices. And there's always an excuse, but only if you're actually checking the prices for yourself during the year, and certainly in the last 6 months of the year, or last, yeah, sort of 6 months prior to now, end of, goodness me, it's a month to Christmas today, 25th of November.
Yep.
Do you know for sure if it's a saving or if it's not? But even if it is, and you are now having to buy on credit, and you're getting it on so-called budget or whatever on your credit card, I can tell you that in most cases, the interest that you're going to pay on that, you know, paying that thing off in the coming months, and don't forget the interest rates are going up. We've already had one increase, and Reserve Bank has warned us that there are going to be more little ones, a whole lot of little ones. That interest that you pay is going to wipe out any savings. So this is Black Friday. The winners of Black Friday, of course, the retailers, big time, and then the consumers who go at it very logically and critically and with a plan.
And actually on that, what you said about people who maybe were waiting for big ticket items and it was something they were wanting to buy anyways and are following the prices, I noticed that somebody's developed a take a lot price tracker that shows you the price history of products. And I thought this is absolutely brilliant that you can actually see when they say 70%, you can look at the history of the price.
Yeah, and go, I don't think so. But that's what I'm talking about. So there's every year there are better ways, easier ways for us to check out these things ourselves rather than rely on what the retailers are telling us the saving is. So I saw a tweet earlier, Jonathan Kay says, the Apple Pencil on Takealot was 1,000, let's round it up to 1,900 Rand, and I've been keeping an eye on the prices because, you know, Black Friday and all that, he says. Lo and behold, today, 2,999 Rand.
Wow.
So it's like, my math is correct, 1,100 Rand more expensive. And the answer, when he queried that with Takealot, he was told that, you know, it's a third party reseller. So, you know, a very extreme example of why you need to do the checking yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't go on what the retailers are telling you you're going to be saving. And sort of more killjoy stuff, I have to say, the context of this Black Friday, which worries me, is that we've got, according to Michelle Dickens of TPN Credit Bureau, we talked about this on the show just last week, there are something like 20 million unsecured credit agreements in default, like bad default, more than 3 months. And we're talking about credit cards and store cards and furniture cards, right? And then she also said that South Africans spend 68% of our income generally on housing, transport, food and healthcare. Those are the essentials. And the remaining 32%, so that's kind of, you can call it disposable income, listen to the order that we spend it on and keep Black Friday in mind. Recreation, furniture, alcohol and tobacco, clothing and footwear, communication, that's all our data and cell phone costs, and then education. Then education. And I'm saying, why don't we do the 100% off, as in don't buy it, and put that money to school fees. Let's do something about that priority list. It's a very unpopular view on the eve of Black Friday, but I think it needs to be said.
Look, the other argument is do go out there and support the retailers that have been struggling. So maybe the smaller stores and smaller businesses, if not the major ones that aren't really taking as big of a knock as the smaller stores.
Whatever feels comfortable to you, I would say, but certainly if you're going to go online, I don't think it's the time to experiment with unknown quantities online. The fraudsters are waiting, salivating to catch people. And so if you're not really sure what you're doing and you don't know how to check out the site, you don't know how to check out whether that retailer, you know, what the track record is, you don't really want to go onto Halopita and other review sites, you are taking a very big chance if you're going away from the very big tried and tested online site, I would say. Now, I'd rather go on foot or however it takes you to get there to a store and stand in a queue and do it that way than, you know, you putting your money in their hands and there's no fraud that's going to happen in that transaction. It's a very dangerous time to be naive online at the moment.
Yeah. So now this whole shopping frenzy and everything, what is it that is happening? I mean, you've mentioned already that interest rates are going to be going up, but what is it that the banking services ombud, Rihanna Steyn, is warning about?
So she's one of many organizations that are doing the be careful thing and has been doing for the last couple of weeks. So just this week, the banking services ombud, Rihanna Steyn, warned that social media platforms, online marketplaces and unsecure websites are being used by criminals to execute a scam where an unsuspecting customer is tricked into paying in advance for goods or services that they will never receive. So this is the thing, because they, you know, they're anticipating the complaints coming through to them. She says consumers should take their time to research the legitimacy and secureness of the merchants and their websites before making a purchase. And I would add to that and say at least take a couple of minutes to search for that retailer, do a Google search, go into Hello Peter, see what other consumers are saying about them. And another word of warning about that process is often you will see a whole lot of people saying it's a scam, terrible, never use them again. And then in between those really negative reviews, you'll see fantastic, a big shout out to whatever, best company ever. And then you should smell a rat if they're only the extremes, the 1 stars and the 5 stars.
Mm.
And I regularly go to Hello Peter and say, please check this out. And what their team does is they will contact the people that left the rave reviews and say, please show us proof of purchase. I want to ascertain whether this is a genuine review from a genuine customer or just, you know, the company itself can go on, make up a name and just positive reviews. And in every case that I've queried it, there might be one genuine positive one, but 20 fake raves, and then they remove those ones to make it a more trustworthy source of information for consumers. So, I mean, it doesn't take a lot of time, but to just go in on, blind trust. I often say to people, you wouldn't go to the dodgiest end of town, this dark little gloomy store you've never heard of them, and go in and try and do business with that retailer. But you must assume that that's the case when you're online, if it's one you've never heard of before or whatever, until your research proves otherwise. But people take everything on face value. Beautiful website. Yay, great prices. I'm there. And then the tears later. It brings so chronic. My inbox is dominated by emails from people who have been victims of fraud, one kind or another. And South Africa is a hotspot for it.
And I mean, I've seen some of the stories of these small Instagram businesses selling clothes, selling wigs and hair pieces, where then people try to out them to, screenshotting their conversations on WhatsApps where they say, everything was fine, I paid, and then I did not receive the product. Or the product arrives at a significantly cheaper quality than what was promised to them. So a lot of people are being scammed online.
Absolutely. Or they'll say they'll just stall them for a very long time. They'll say it's coming. Problems at the ports and, anything, load shedding, anything they can blame, they blame. I've took up a case this week, a woman's online selling beautiful silk pajamas that she's getting from China, whatever. And a whole lot of women, I think 8 friends, got together. Some bought multiple pairs for Christmas presents. And excuses, she even falsified an email from the pay app. There was a problem when there wasn't. So I took it up as a media query. I was going to talk about it today, but I just haven't quite finished my investigation. But she sent me a screen grab from a so-called interaction with We Buy Cars that's supposed to be taking her Range Rover off her for a few hundred thousand rand, and that's being held up, and that's why she can't refund these women.
What does that even have to do?
Exactly. But this is the kind of nonsense, Renabuchile. That's what's going on out there. So I was saying, don't... I hate to say it. I mean, support small retailers, but do your best to support them the old way, old-fashioned way, bricks and mortar. You're actually going to have an interaction with the person until they prove themselves to be reputable. But to just go blind with an online retailer, there's just too many of them out there spoiling it for the genuine guys who are just trying to make an honest living, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I mean, these things, and I'm sure even if we put out to the listeners, they'll share many, many stories. I've been fortunate that every time I have purchased from a social media, I literally had to go through and see if I knew somebody that, you know, sort of commented to say thank you so much for the package, and I'd ask them what their service was like. So I'd actually just go to somebody that I know personally. And yes, I've been fortunate that I've never encountered any hiccups, except maybe a delay at the postnet, which the package eventually arrived with the correct quality and those type of things. But let's ask, find out from the listeners, 011-883-0702, any of the situations you've encountered. SMS 31702, the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702, and you can email relebogilem@702.co.za. What are the questions or queries you'd like to bring up with Wendy Nola?
702. Nola knows her knowledge is your power.
It has just gone 27 minutes to 3 o'clock, and we're speaking to Wendy Nola, our consumer ninja, about all things consumer. But we've been chatting specifically about the Black Friday's do not do's. Give us a call, 011-883-0702. Send us a WhatsApp, 072-702-1702, and send us an SMS on 31702 or tweet at RelebogileM. Now, Wendy, what are finger trouble transactions?
Okay, so it's heartbreaking. Basically, it's when you go to pay something or someone for their goods or services, and you either transpose to bank account details, or it's already, you've got a list of beneficiaries on your banking app, and you somehow click on the wrong one, and your money goes into the wrong account. I'll get on. That's the most common scenario that I get. This whole thing was thrust into the public arena by that student whose name escapes me with a second. It was NSRAS who made a mistake with her tuition fee or whatever the amount she got every month, and they ended up giving her 14 million rand, and she spent a bunch of it. And it's landed up in court because that is theft, right? Mm. If you knowing, no matter how people justify it, like, oh, well, just put in my lap what I'm, you know, it's mine. It doesn't work like that. You know, you keep money that's not yours. It is theft, but, you know, if it happens with a smaller amount and the person doesn't want to give it back, there's not a lot you can do, and I'll get to that. But I've had that case this week that came to me, and then I've had a slightly more unusual one I just wanted to touch on briefly, because a lot of people are making holiday plans now. Some people are booking on booking sites such as Airbnb and booking.com. It was an Airbnb matter. Sandton businessman Mfundo got hold of me, and was last week. He was on Airbnb. He was looking at this property on behalf of his extended family, a whole bunch of them wanting to go to the Cape for that prime week from Boxing Day or Day of Goodwill to just after New Year. And it looked good, but he wasn't sure. He was trying to see how many bedrooms will this work, will it not work. And he pressed the confirm booking button. Booking request by mistake. And it was a lot of money at stake. It was a 30,000 rand a night property in Camps Bay. Can you imagine at peak time? And he couldn't find how to cancel it on the site. So he started engaging with the host one-on-one and said, listen, Brew, don't accept. I'm not there yet. I haven't made a final decision. And there's a bit of a discussion. Anyway, he went to sleep the next morning, 240,000 rand confirmed on his card. Can you imagine?
Wow.
And then there was like, he got a bit heated because he said, well, I told you not to accept. What are you accepting? And the guy said, well, there's no refund. And anyway, I took this up with Airbnb's media office in London because I'm thinking this could happen to so many people. Maybe not at that huge amount, but still, accommodation is expensive. And long story short, to Mfundo's relief, they got that 240,000 rand refunded as what they called it, a goodwill gesture, saying that that host, it was a non-refundable payment. Mfundo said, oh, I didn't actually wasn't aware of that. They've got different kinds of hosts have different kinds of cancellation policies, and so you have to check that That's the first bit of advice. And secondly, apparently there is a withdrawal quest for a booking on the site. Again, Mfundo said, well, I was looking hard for it and I couldn't find it. So just to be very careful when you're making these bookings, just tread carefully, and but before you do anything, go and look at all the terms and conditions, especially the cancellation ones, most important, because there's Airbnb and then there's the host, and the host gets to make a lot of, you know, decisions around what the cancellation policy is going to be. And my advice would be go with one that, especially now, I mean, talk of fourth wave, we don't know what's going to happen. This is a time to make flexible booking. Bookings, whether it's for you know, flights or whatever, you must go for the service provider that's going to provide you with the most flexibility should you have to cancel or should we go into lockdown or whatever. So just a word of caution there. And then to get back to the most common form of finger trouble with making payments, earlier in the week, I got an email from Kete, who is a mechanical engineering student in KZN. And he actually went into a branch of Capitec, his branch, to deposit 3,000 Rand student fees into the university's account. And then when he got the statement, he saw it, the beneficiary was a name he didn't recognize. It wasn't the university. So he says, I went into the bank, they traced the account number and called the Capitec account holder, and she said she already used the money.
Oh, wow.
And he actually wrote, Ishmael, I know it's a big mistake, but I'm wondering if you can offer me some advice on how I can get the account holder to pay me back. I won't be able to get my exam results. This is not paid. Please.
But why are people so terrible? Like, you don't even consider the fact. I mean, just to take you back to the Airbnb host, the person told you it was a mistake, but you went ahead anyways.
Yes. So that's unfortunately what is out there. Obviously not all. I have a friend who has a property up the West Coast that he rents out. And he was, when I was telling this story, he said he had someone make a booking. He clicked on December instead of January. And Airbnb contacted him, the host, and said, you're entitled to keep 50%. What do you want to do? And he said, no way am I keeping it. I'll be able to let December, no problem. I'm not keeping the guy's money for nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, choose your host carefully. Have a look at their T's and C's. So in this case, the problem is, and I talk about it fairly often because I think barely a week goes by, honestly, that I don't get someone in this situation saying, what can I do? Because what people don't realize is, you know, when you get someone's payment details or a company's payment details, it'll have a lot of information. They'll have the account name, they'll have the account number, they'll have the branch code, right?
Yes.
And then the number. And people think that all those four things need to match, you know, the information that you supply on the app or however you're paying in order for the payment to go. And that is not true. Only two things need to happen. The number that you put in, by mistake or not, needs to be a valid account number in the bank that you name, and then the money will go.
So it doesn't verify.
You could put Mickey Mouse. You could put Mickey Mouse, make up a code for the branch code. As long as it's the account number that you put in is at that actual bank, be it Lead Bank, Capitec, Standard, whatever, the money will go. And that's how easy it is to make a mistake. So it's fine to be judgy and saying, what is wrong with these people that they can't concentrate while they're doing these things? You just have to get one number mixed up or leave one number off, one number short.
Yeah.
The bank system puts a zero. If that's a valid account, which it normally is, off your money goes. And then you're at the complete mercy of the recipient. Because this is the thing that people need to understand. And that is that, and I've got this from the Ombudsman for Banking Services Investigations Manager, Narosha Masetti, fairly recently. Because people say, the bank won't help. The bank won't help me. It's not fair. Why don't they just put, you know, give my money back? But the bank can only do that if the beneficiary agrees to it, right? If the beneficiary says no, it's their customer, how are they to play judge and jury on this thing? They don't have that right. Only a court.
They weren't a part of it.
No. So, then you have to follow a legal process. But first, before you even do that, you've got to know the name of this person, obviously, or the name of the company that it's gone to. And for the bank to even do that, because we've got privacy issues, you have to get a subpoena. So in most cases, people just write it off, especially like in this case, 3,000 Rand. I mean, you're not even going to get your legal fees will completely overshadow that. And it's a long, slow process. So only with big amounts, like in that NSFAS case, will go to court because there's a lot at stake. But otherwise, you lose out. But there is a bit of good news on this case, and that I mentioned it briefly on our sister station, Cape Talk, yesterday. And I think six or seven listeners said, oh, we'll pay it. So now I couldn't get hold of him. That's the thing to tell him the good news. I've just managed to make contact with him now. So I'm going to divide the amount up and give them the university banking details, the correct one, get it from the university with a reference number for that student, and his fees will be paid and he'll get his exam results. So a happy ending there, but it doesn't always work out this way, I have to say. Very seldom.
I absolutely feel for Keta, especially if that, as Keta was saying, that is money for varsity fees, for school fees, and that if it's not paid, that they will not get their results. And we know what a big delay that can be. So thank goodness for all the good Samaritans. If Keta is listening, get in touch with Wendy. You haven't tracked Keta down yet, have you?
No, I actually have.
Wonderful.
Just before we came to air, he responded to my email. His phone was going straight to voicemail, and I was getting a bit desperate, but he has. We are now emailing each other, and it's all going to be sorted out. I just have to check and recheck and check again the banking details. And that's really the lesson in here is I'm paranoid about EFT payments for this reason, because, I mean, I'm get bombarded with the hard luck stories virtually daily. So rather, check the numbers front ways, back ways. Just take 5 minutes if you have to. There's a lot at stake. Just be paranoid. It's a long, good time to be paranoid is about inputting an account number that you're paying into.
And I mean, the big thing that I'm taking away from what you've said is the fact that the responsibility ends up not lying with the bank. They actually are restricted in what they can do. But we would think the bank should be able to just reverse it. But they can't reverse it because they don't know what the money was for.
And legally, they would get into trouble. I mean, you can imagine if that was the case, how you would get the banks to fight your battles with you. You could pay a company or an individual legitimately and then go to the bank and say, that was a mistake. And the bank says, no problem. I'll just give your money back to you. And the beneficiary then goes, hello, you've just stolen the money out of my account. I provided a service for that money. Or she was repaying a loan. So you can see why the banks can't get involved. But I can also understand if that's you and you have this finger trouble and your money goes to a stranger. And it's often a lot of money, and it's often important money. Your natural thing is, help me. Bank, help
me.
It was a mistake.
Yes.
He or she has got no right to that money that they now feel entitled to. It's a natural thing to want the bank to help, but the reality is they just can't.
And as far as I understand, I'm not sure how far this extends to e-wallets, because some people insist on getting payments for whatever via e-wallet. And I accidentally had paid someone via e-wallet. And luckily, the bank said if the person hasn't withdrawn the money, you can actually reverse your e-wallet. So I think with e-wallets, it's easier. But once the money's gone, then it's between you and the person who got it.
You're exactly right. I have I've done e-wallet reversals as well, and because of a mistake or whatever, no problem at all. But as you say, once that money thank you for bringing that up. There is a measure of protection if you do e-wallet. But again, once the person has taken it, nobody can intervene except, it's up to them and their conscience. People feel very entitled and justify from God and it's whatever.
Wendy, if you've been praying, if you've been praying for months for money to come, and then suddenly there's money in your account.
That's what happens, I promise you. But then you say to the person, okay, and say that was your money and you made the mistake.
Yeah.
And that person said, but I've been praying. How would you feel? And then they stopped talking to me.
Wendy, we're going to take a break. I'd love for everybody to know. You guys can give us a call on 011-883-0702. Send through any of your questions to Wendy Noda. They don't have to be restricted to Black Friday or finger mistakes when it comes to making payments. You can also give us a call about your own experience of some of the scenarios described. Like, have you accidentally paid the wrong person because you made an error with the digits, and did you get your money back? Did you accidentally book accommodation via Airbnb or booking.com, whatever the case may be, and the money's taken and you could not get it back or struggled to get it back? Give us a call, 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line, 072-702-1702. And then you can find us on Twitter at Relebogile M.
702. Nola knows.
Chatting to Wendy Noda, all of your consumer issues, 011-883-0702, 31702, 0727021702. That's the WhatsApp line. Let's go to the lines and take some of your calls. We have Fran in Rosebank. Hi, Fran.
Yes, hi. In the old days, when I started banking, you had your name attached to your bank number.
Mm.
Unfortunately, the banks decided they would save money by processing with only a bank number and no name. Problem. We need to have names back with account numbers.
Couldn't agree more, Fran.
It would solve the whole problem.
Thank you so much, Fran in Rosebank. We actually have a WhatsApp that's come through that says, I was recently in Nigeria and found how easy it is to do online transfer there. Once they enter the account number, all details of the person the money is being deposited to pops up, including the contact number. Then you just verify if the details are correct. Why can't that be done here in South Africa, which is said to have the most advanced financial sector? That is from Ben, who says, thank you, Wendy.
Wow, Ben, thank you. I did not know that. I mean, I suppose because fraud is pretty rife and they've had to introduce these things to protect consumers, I am most certainly going to pose that question to our banks pretty much when I get off air. So thank you. It can come back in a future show and talk about how they responded.
Perfect. We have Fatima in Randburg. Hi, Fatima.
Hi, I'd like to ask Wendy a question, please.
Go ahead.
Thanks. I've received two amounts into my bank account, unidentified. One was about 7,500 rand, and one was about 1,500 rand, about 20 days in between. And there's no reference as to where it actually comes from and or which bank. What do you do in that instance?
That's a good question. So being the recipient of the money, you don't know where it comes from. Fatima, for starters, do not spend it.
Thank you. That's going to be my first thing.
Don't spend it.
I do get that tempting. And you know what happens, Rilabakhile? In many cases, people's accounts are in overdraft, especially for the, the 21st, 22nd of the month. I'm not suggesting this is your situation at all, but, you know, it's even more tempting then because, like, what you do is your bank. You get hold of your bank and you make it their problem. You being the honest person, sooner or later, sometimes it's the bank themselves that have made the mistake, but sooner or later someone's going to come and say, hey, that 9,000 rand was meant to go to somewhere else. Please give it back. So it's really a good idea at this point. I don't know how long this money has been sitting in your account, but to go to your bank and say, honest citizen, I don't know. Maybe it was meant. You just have a blank on where and how and whatever.
Fatima, but did you pray? Did you pray for 9,000 rand?
I promise I didn't. I wish I did. But I mean, it's been here for about 2 weeks. The first deposit was done about 2 weeks ago, and I completely forgot about it because, you get an SMS and you don't pay attention to it. And then it only occurred to me again when I had a second deposit and I was like, okay, what's going on here? Something just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I know. So get on your bank, and I would do it by email, so there's a record of it, and say, please help, would you give us details about the source? Because I, as far as I'm aware, I'm not expecting this money. I don't know who it's from, and then leave it with the bank. And if you don't get a satisfactory response, or you don't get one at all, let's hope that's not the case. I would, as hard as it's going to be, especially at this time of year, just bring in that money, because it's going to be even harder if you've spent it and then you get called upon to repay it.
And Fatima, it's not from shares or dividends or anything that you might own?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Out bonus? An out bonus? No bonus? Okay.
Nothing. So I'd really have to dig into it and see, you know, you're right. It could possibly be something that's due to me and I don't realize it, but I've never had the payment done before. If I was receiving a dividend on shares or anything to that effect, I would have received it before.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that it is legitimately yours and that it's just a lovely Christmas bonus. But just put it out there to the bank that you don't think, you know, you don't know about this money. Please help. And I hope it ends well. Of course, I have to say, and you would have, the listeners out there thinking this, it's 9,000 rand, it's not worth litigating over. If you want to, if your conscience said, well, I'm going to keep it, you could, but that really wouldn't be the right thing to do.
Someone on WhatsApp says, please give Fatima my account details if she doesn't need the money. But I mean, this is very serious, because I think I would also be panicked, because you're like, whose money is this? And it becomes so tempting, and suddenly there's things to pay for. Tapelo and Alex, hi.
How are you?
Good, thanks, and you?
Okay. You know, sometimes I wonder how some business are working. Because today, I went to FNB to open an account. Hello?
Yes, we're listening.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I said to them, because I'm having an account with other banks, I just wanted a cheap account so that I can divert my money to other accounts. So the guy says to me, the account that they are going to open for me, it's having a funeral cover. I said, no, I don't need a funeral cover. I just wanted their cheapest account. And then they said, no, there's no any account that they can open for me except the one that has a funeral cover.
So FNB.
Yes, FNB today at West Bank.
What I'm going to do, because I know you need to give a bit of information, we won't have time. We're going to connect you with Wendy, and maybe Wendy you can assist. But in essence, he tried to open an account and he was forced to take the funeral policy. And I've never heard of that in my life.
Nor have I. Maybe the bank official was having a bad day, or maybe this is something new. But either way, I'd like to check it out.
Thank you so much, Wendy. And one last thing, there's a message, and maybe you can check this for next time with regards to chatting to the banks. Somebody on WhatsApp says, by law, if the money's in your account more than 3 days, you can use it. They can't touch you. Is that true?
That's completely untrue. Completely untrue. Hopeful. Many court cases that'll do that. That's wishful thinking.
Hopeful and wishful thinking. Wendy Noda, thank you so much for chatting to us on all the consumer issues.